You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Thank you. Hour number two, more time now with Thomas K. Kimmel and talking about liars. And by the way, Tom, a lot of lying under oath. Isn't that the case as well here?
Yeah, I thought you might find an analogy, a comparison there. Well, interestingly enough, you know, if you can lie to the FBI, well, lying to the FBI, it was almost a joke when I was in the FBI because virtually all the subjects lied to the FBI at the beginning.
Well, how about the FBI lying to the public? That's the one we're more concerned about. But anyway, and that went on then, too, with I know Hoover was on the defensive, and many in the upper echelons of the Bureau were also playing defensive quarterback. But, you know, you had Marshall, you were talking about, the Secretary of the Army. They had Stimson. Were every one of these people culpable then if this were to take place, this court-martial, or what?
Admiral Cox, the Director of Naval History currently, he certainly thinks that many were culpable. He didn't list them by name, but, of course, it's perfectly obvious who they are. But let me finish, right. This piece that I had before. Remember,
sure,
I was talking
sure.
about this memo written by Marshall 3 days after the return of the Roberts Commission findings.
Mm-hmm.
Efforts to try and make sure that there's no further investigation after the Roberts Commission, I think, speaks volumes. But I just think it's interesting to have it in writing like that. This is the argument that they're going to make if anybody tries to request a Naval Court of Inquiry. And the last thing they want is a Naval Court of Inquiry, because they know in the Navy scheme of things, the Naval Court of Inquiry names people of interest. And the people of interest named by the Naval Court of Inquiry were Admiral Kimmel, the head of the Pacific Fleet, Admiral Stark, the chief of Naval Operations, and Admiral Block, the head of the 14th Naval District, which is Hawaii. So those people, those three people, had the opportunity to call and to cross-examine witnesses, which, of course, makes the case for Kimmel, but it also further buries Stark, because Stark now is in a position where he can call and cross-examine witnesses, volunteer information, and it highlights for anybody who actually reads Stark's testimony just what an awful liar he was. And I'll get to that after I finish this business about manipulating Kimmel into retirement. I told you that this memo, which is in the Pearl Harbor record, in the Joint Congressional Committee record, has been hiding there in plain sight. I found it not too long ago. Summers and Swan, however, went one step beyond, and they found in the Nimitz papers at the National History and Heritage Center, they found a transcript dated January 26, 1942, right around the close of the Roberts Commission and, of course, the timing of the Marshall memo to Stimson. And this transcript, I'm going to read to you. It's not very long, but it was just amazing that they even had a transcript of this telephone call. The telephone call is between Admiral Jacobs, who effectively was the head of the Bureau of Navigation, which also included personnel, and Admiral Greenslade, who was the commandant in San Francisco. I think at those days they called it the 13th Naval District. At any rate, he's a commandant out in San Francisco. Greenslade also is a personal friend of Admiral Kimmel. So it's very interesting how they got Admiral Kimmel's friend to participate in this, I should say unwittingly participate, as he made clear in follow-up letters to Kimmel. But at any rate, here's the transcript. Admiral Jacobs, this is Bureau of Personnel. Has Kimmel returned yet? Admiral Greenslade out in San Francisco. Yes, he's here. Jacobs, I've just been discussing the matter with Admiral Stark, and they want Kimmel kept in a leave status until further disposition is made of the report. That's the Roberts report. I was asked by Admiral Stark to inform you to tell Kimmel that General Short has applied for retirement. Greenslade comes back. In a leave status, you want me to tell him that? Jacobs, yes. After Greenslade relays the message that he is ordered to relay to Admiral Kimmel, Kimmel pens a memo saying that prior to this suggestion from the Navy Department, he had not even considered retirement, stood ready and fully expected to be reassigned. But the stratagem of Marshall and Stark worked. Now, we're talking about the fact that there's an awful legacy of lying by the Chief of Staff, Marshall, and the Chief of Naval Operations, Stark. But we've only recently come to understand the full effect of that. And it is not a pretty story. As I think you've heard before, but you haven't heard all of it. Of course, what is generally known, but that doesn't make it any less consequential, is the fact that on Saturday evening, December 6, 1941, courier, Lieutenant Commander Schultz, brought in the 13th part of the 14th part response of the Japanese, the Cordell Hull's ultimatum given to the Japanese on November 26, 1941. 13th part of the 14th part secret response to Hull's ultimatum. The 13th part is delivered by Commander Schultz, President Roosevelt, and his number one confidant,
Hopkins.
Yeah, thank you. Harry Hopkins.
Harry Hopkins, yeah.
And President Roosevelt reads this secret communication from the enemy and declares after reading it that this means war. He turns to Harry Hopkins. Harry Hopkins agrees this means war. This was the highlight of the Joint Congressional Committee investigation. This was completely unknown until the Joint Congressional Committee investigation. It's amazing. At any rate, the investigators now turned all of their attention into, hey, what in the world did the president do after making that declaration? And did he not do what he obviously should have done, and that was to reach out to the head of his army and the head of his navy? So all investigation turned on that idea. I'll start with Marshall, because he's the most outrageous. I take that back. He's competitively outrageous with Admiral Stark.
Yeah.
At any rate, Marshall, who's renowned for his photographic memory, at least that's the way President Truman styled him, is virtually able to walk on water with his photographic memory. Marshall is asked where he was Saturday night, and he just can't remember. He just cannot remember. Under oath, he can't remember. So investigators asked him, well, where were you Sunday morning when you still had plenty of time to warn our armed forces worldwide of the threat? Where were you? And he wasn't quite sure. He was horseback riding in Rock Creek Park, but he wasn't exactly sure when. And when he got to the office, and this became quite a mystery, frustrating investigators to the point where they finally asked him, okay, General, you don't know where you were Saturday night. Your recollection is not clear as to what you did, your movements on Sunday morning. Where were you, sir, when you actually got the word that Pearl Harbor was under attack? And, of course, I ask my audiences almost every time. I usually stop there and I say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, where were you when you actually got the word that the World Trade Center was under attack September 11th, 2001? And virtually everybody knows where they were, to including yours truly. At any rate, now I go back and we revisit the question. The Joint Congressional Committee has just asked General Marshall, where were you, General, when you actually got the word was under attack? And his famous response was, I do not recall. And that's in black and white in the congressional record.
And this is under oath.
Under oath, oh yeah. It's in volume three. I can't remember the exact page, but I can certainly get it in short order. At any rate, now we go to Admiral Stark. Admiral Stark is even worse in this sense. Stark is just not as smart or clever as Marshall. And Stark is asked in January of 1946 by the Joint Congressional Committee, under oath, of course, where were you Saturday night, December 6th, when your only boss was reading a secret communication from the enemy and declaring this means war? Stark says, I don't know where I was that evening of December 6th. Nobody reached me. Ask him the same question under oath the next day. Same response, I do not recall where I was. Joint Congressional Committee shuts down, starts writing their report. A week later, Admiral Stark's flag lieutenant, Captain Harold Crick, goes to Admiral Stark and says, Admiral, don't you remember where you were Saturday night, December 6th? You were with me, sir. You were with me and our wives. We went to the National Theater. We saw the student prince. After the performance, we returned to your quarters. You were immediately greeted by the houseboy who said the president had called you and wanted you to call him right back. You excused yourself, went to your library, came back a short time later and said you had been discussing the critical situation in the Pacific with the president. The Joint Congressional Committee asked, well, what happened, of course, is Stark was between the devil and the deep blue sea, so he had to go back to the Joint Congressional Committee because he knew that he could never live through this if it leaked out later on. Congressional Committee was between a rock and a hard place, and they decided, okay, we will reconvene, and they did, to take Harold Crick's testimony. They asked Crick how come he could remember this when Stark could not. Crick responded in the obvious. He said, you don't forget that sort of thing. Stark is next up on the stand, and he says, Crick, notwithstanding trying to refresh my recollection, I still do not remember that evening. Now, this turns into comic opera, as if it were not already at that level.
Yeah.
And when the congressman on the Joint Congressional Committee, Gerhardt, from Connecticut, as I recall, he asked Admiral Stark after all of this, Admiral Stark, could you have been with General Marshall, since he can't remember where he was Saturday evening either? A pretty good gag line, in my opinion. Okay, we don't stop there.
Yeah.
But we know that the Naval Court of Inquiry certainly recognized the fact that Stark was lying through his teeth, but they gave him the benefit of the doubt because they couldn't prove it absolutely. Now, what the Naval Court of Inquiry had no idea of was that Admiral Stark recorded his telephone conversations with the President of the United States, all of them, and all through 1941. We find this out in 1981 when Stark's other aide, he actually had seven aides, used to be referred to as Snow White because Admiral Stark had snow white hair, and he had seven aides. So it was Admiral Stark and the seven little dwarfs. The seven little dwarfs were his aides. Yeah. One of them was Crick, and the other was Smedberg, the one of immediate interest. Smedberg was responsible for running the wiretap, the monitoring of Admiral Stark's telephone. And in 1981, in a reminiscence, which was published in 1981 by Paul Stillwell in a compilation called Air Raid Pearl Harbor, published by the Naval Institute Press, the portion was called Aide to Admiral Stark, Vice Admiral William R. Smedberg III. Smedberg, relays what he did at the time. And in the reminiscence, he says this: I, Admiral Smedberg, kept a wax cylinder record of everything the president said to Admiral Stark. He would call up and say, Betty, a nickname for Admiral Stark, I want this done right away. Stark and President Roosevelt would give Stark five or six things in rapid fire order. The admiral would say, yes, Mr. President, yes, Mr. President, yes, Mr. President. Have you got that, Betty? Yes, Mr. President. Stark would hang up. The buzzer would ring in my office, and I'd go in and hear Admiral Stark say, did you get all that, Smitty? A nickname for Admiral Smedberg. Yes, sir, we'll get going on it. Smedberg says, I, Smedberg, monitored nearly every conversation Admiral Stark had, and I made a record of almost all of them. Every now and then, when it was a personal thing, Admiral Stark would tell me to destroy the record. Okay. Smedberg went on to great heights. He was Naval Academy, 1926. Superintendent of the Naval Academy, 1956 to 1958. Chief of Naval Personnel from 1960 to 1964, when I was a midshipman at the Naval Academy. He was president of the United States Naval Academy Alumni Association from 1965 to 1967. Notwithstanding all that, of course, the Naval Court of Inquiry had no idea of the wiretap that Smedberg had monitored at the instruction of Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Stark. The Chief of the Naval Court of Inquiry extensively interrogated Admiral Stark. It's particularly interesting interrogation because for the first 28 days, Admiral Stark was testifying knowing that the Naval Court of Inquiry did not have access to magic. Of course, through the dynamic of Admiral Kimmel and his counsel, they finally figured out a way to get the Naval Court of Inquiry to accept the decoded dispatches, finally making magic available to the Naval Court of Inquiry, which of course completely turned the Naval Court of Inquiry's investigation around. But at any rate, back to Admiral Stark and his monitoring of President Roosevelt's phone calls. The Naval Court of Inquiry interrogating Admiral Stark, question number 388. The question, did you, Admiral Stark, ever keep any record of your conversations with President Roosevelt during the year 1941? Mm-hmm. Admiral Stark's answer was, no, I did not.
Wow.
Of course, if the Naval Court of Inquiry had any idea of Smedberg's reminiscence, well, no telling what they would have done. But I've got four points to make about this. Admiral Hewitt, in his investigation, asked Admiral Smedberg, and this, of course, is back in 1944, asked Admiral Smedberg, after Smedberg testified under oath to Admiral Hewitt, Captain Smedberg, anything further to say in this investigation? In other words, anything relevant or material to this investigation which has not been brought out by the questions asked, here's your opportunity to volunteer it. Smedberg's response was, no, sir. The second item I like to make a point of here is that Smedberg took a special oath to maintain the security of the information developed during the Hewitt investigation.
All right, we've got a break, Tom. We'll get back to that, and we'll try to reach some summation here as well. A couple of more questions from people I have. So we'll do that when we return on Republic Broadcasting Network. Rick Adams, listening to the melodious voice of Thomas K. Kimmel.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And we're back, folks. All right, Tom, you want to sum up that point? I have a couple of quick points for you, but go ahead. Continue on the investigation, the lying, Stark, and so forth.
All right, well, I'm just bringing up this idea that Admiral Smedberg really held his punch. And the outrageous thing, the Naval Court of Inquiry, knowing nothing about any of this stuff, introduces Smedberg as an additional counsel before the Naval Court of Inquiry, pretty much smothering any ability of Smedberg to come forward and tell the truth at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm going to summarize this, all of what I've told you in this hour, a little more than an hour, all of this has come to my submitting an application in April of this year to the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records. What I have done is try to appeal officially to the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records for another look at this advancement matter for Admiral Kimmel. The reason I did that is because I figured out 30 years ago, my dad and my uncle submitted an application for this very same reason to the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records, and the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records summarily, administratively closed the matter, saying that they did not have jurisdiction over the relief requested. Therefore,
right, I remember that, yeah.
They're not even going to hear the matter. Well, okay, I was always surprised why my dad and uncle didn't appeal that, because I have come to find out that that is pretty clearly error on the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records part. And that's what the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records is supposed to be doing. That's their job. That's their only job, to correct error and remove injustice from Navy records. Well, in 1991, the Army Board for Correction of Military Records heard the matter of General Short. They heard it, and they found injustice and recommended that the relief be granted. It was overturned at higher authority, but at least the Bureau for the Army Board for Correction of Military Records heard the matter. In 2010, I found out that the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records, now all these boards operate under the same statute, and they all have the same job, correct error and remove injustice from military records, they heard the matter of cashiered Air Force General John Lovell. They found out that Lovell, he was cashiered for supposedly illegally bombing North Korean surface-to-air missile sites, but the facts were determined that President Roosevelt had given him authority de facto to do that. As a consequence, the appeal was made to the Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records. The Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records had no jurisdiction to directly grant the relief requested, and this would be, in his case, posthumous advancement to his highest held temporary rank. At any rate, the Secretary of the Air Force agreed with the Army Air Force Board for Correction of Military Records, and they recommended it to the Secretary of Defense. The Secretary of Defense recommended it to President Obama, and Obama agreed and nominated Lovell for advancement. It went to the Senate Armed Services Committee, and they let the matter lapse. They turned it down. Mainly Senator McCain refused to vote on the thing.
Naturally.
Well, I see all of this stuff coming to fore, and I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute now. Obviously, the Navy Court of Inquiry, I'm sorry, the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records, they made an error 30 years ago. So exactly 30 years from the date of the submission of our first application by my dad and my uncle, I submitted another application pleading basically what I just told you. That the Bureau
I want to hold you over a few more minutes, Tom, because I have a couple of questions also. If you're finished with this particular aspect of it, and the break is going to come up.
That's
the break
thing
is coming
that I
up.
Have, and anybody that wants to read the entire application for the Bureau that I submitted to the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records is posted on my website.
Right, and we'll give the website, too, in just a moment or so, but I wanted to hold you right after you hear the music because it's coming up in about 20 seconds, and two questions from a couple of our listeners, and one, of course, that I have echoed myself. Very important, very interesting questions, and we will return with Thomas K. Kimmel, who is the eldest grandson of Admiral Kimmel. Stay tuned, folks. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
All right, we're back, folks, for extended minutes with Thomas Kimmel today. You know, next week, this coming week, December 7th, is the 76th anniversary of the attack. Tom, I have a couple of questions for you now. One of them has to do with magic, Operation Magic. It is obviously clearly established that that was known. The invention had been around, and the decoding machine was, in fact, used to decode the secret transmissions from the Japanese to Washington. They were able to decode it. Now, one of our listeners has a question that I have off air, and that happens to be, if the contention was that Admiral Kimmel and General Stark should have known that this invention had indeed been used and they were given access to it, then why is it, or how is it, that the White House could indeed escape such wrath when it had, or at least the United States military, had Operation magic? What was their explanation?
Well, it's a great question. I tell you what, I can only answer that this way. I guess the real answer is I don't know, but let me go beyond that a little bit by saying
sure.
Marshall's initial defense was Kimmel and Short had magic. That was his initial defense.
Which they did
when
not.
That, right. When that fell apart, he said, well, I thought they had magic. That's his
okay.
line of defense. His third line of defense was, well, if they had had magic, it wouldn't have made any difference anyway.
Oh.
I'm not making that up. That's a synopsis of the three efforts of Marshall to try and justify what he did.
Wow. They talk about chutzpah, huh? Well, what? All right. Now, the other question, the other question now would be from me as well, and that is, all right, we've seen every administration come and go since the Roosevelt and Truman administration, in fact, your granddad has passed. What about this business of the current administration, the Trump administration, and its statements and its continual blessings upon those who were serving in the war, particularly some of the Native Americans, as you know, most recently? What has Mr. Trump, if anything, personally or officially done to continue to end this charade and grant that posthumous promotion to General Short and Thomas Kimmel? What, if anything?
Well, again, the real answer is I don't know. However, it would seem to be very logical. We know he's been approached by several, in several avenues, by people that we know that clearly are trying to help us out here. What President Trump has done, I don't know. But because I have this application before mm-hmm. the Bureau for Correction of Naval Records, it would seem logical that nothing is going to happen until BCNR passes judgment on my application. BCNR has had my application since April. That's a long time. That's a long time to be studying my little piece of paper.
Well, I mean, it's a long time since 75 years now. And, you know, I have to say also, I'm happy to have read this past year and last year about Manning Kimmel, also in the limelight, pursuing this injustice. And now, is he your younger brother?
No, he is my cousin.
He's your cousin. Okay, I thought it was one or the other relative. All right. And he, too, has received quite a bit of limelight attention in South Carolina, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's in the same business you're in. He's in the radio business.
Mm-hmm.
he owns something like five radio stations in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and he's very politically in step with all of this. Recall,
well, we should bring him on the program then, all right? We'll arrange to have him come on. How's that?
Yeah, give him a ring. He'll do it. He may want to interview you. I don't know.
sure. Anytime.
Recall, he's the fellow who interviewed Joe Biden when Joe Biden mm-hmm. was seeking the vice presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Biden said during that meeting that the Kimmel and Short matter was the greatest injustice in the history of American military.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
We thought, my goodness, he gets elected to vice president, and we're thinking, this is great. We got somebody clearly close to the president. And he continued to be an advocate for us, but I can't say, I'm disappointed that I'm unable to say that he ever made a pitch to President Obama. And that was particularly disappointing because we know Obama was sensitive to that kind of material as a result of the General Lavelle matter, where Obama actually made the step of nominating Lavelle. So that was pretty sad. But the real answer
Well, you know, the whole thing, you know, the book, The Matter of Honor, you know, by Summers, all of this now has pretty much become official truth and debunking the Roosevelt legend and myth. So, I mean, it's obvious to me there is this shutdown. We talk about truth being almost forbidden now in the politically correct world of the media, but don't you think that after all of these years, there are, all the key players have perished now, and don't you think after all of these years, there is no longer any real reason for this continuation of injustice other than the fact that it would shatter quite a few myths of historical revisionism and indeed probably cause a lot of clamor for maybe the talk about taking down of statues and memorials of men like Roosevelt and so forth. Now, I'm being very blunt about it, but don't you think that there, I mean, what other reason is there now other than this purveying atmosphere, political correctness and World War II revisionism, to not do it? I mean, it seems like a unique case to us, doesn't it?
Well, recall that the Congress of the United States wants it done and recommended to the president in perpetuity that it be done. The only real fly in the ointment, officially, that I'm aware of, is that the Navy Department insists upon hiding behind the fig leaf that the commander is responsible no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of...
Quite a statement, the fig leaf, yeah. I notice you use that term right out of the scriptures, you know, to cover the sin, so to speak, of Adam and Eve, you know, and it's indeed appropriate here, I think, as well. We're ready pretty much to sum up here. Now, I gave you a little extended time because we haven't done it in so long since actually it was the beginning of this year, I think, or the end of last in December that we did bring you on. I know next week, despite your situation and mobility, you're still going to attend the services, I guess, in Hawaii, aren't you?
No, I can't. I can't even think about traveling now. I'm infirm to the point where I can't travel.
All right. Well, I mistook you then. I mistook what you said, but you are going to, in some way, partake of the ceremonial, from where you are, the ceremonial engagement, I presume.
Well, actually not. I'm committed to give a radio a webinar to a corporate group called American Systems out of San Diego, but they go nationwide with their webinar. So mm-hmm. it'll be very similar to what you and I are doing here, except that I will actually have one of my keynote presentations that I'll put on my computer, and they can see my slides as I'm talking about the slides. So it's pretty neat technique.
All right, that's pretty good. So you don't have to move at all, and you're pretty much in a position where you can. I'm so happy that we've been able to bring you on through the miracle of radio and through my end, of course, through Skype, to be able to do this program. Now, since we've gone thus far, if anybody quickly has a quick question for again for Tom Kimmel on the Pearl Harbor story within the story. Right now, we'll let you just dial in and give us a quick call if you do at 800-313-9443. Or are you all Pearl Harbored out? I don't know. But if you have a quick one, you have a question or a comment on what we've learned today, and we have learned a lot more and a lot of old ground gone over, then you may definitely call us in. And Tom, give your website address out, and we'll make sure people can access it, okay?
Okay, good. The website is www.pearlharbor911attacks.com. www.pearlharbor911attacks.com. There is a wealth of information on that website, to include recordings of almost all of my previous appearances on Rick's show. Every time I've appeared, Rick has been kind enough to give me a link that allows you to listen to the show.
Yeah. When it's posted on the archives, we'll be able to do that again. And I'd like to be able to definitely bring up your cousin and Manning. And sometime shortly, maybe we can bring him on for a few minutes and chat with him, his labors as well. Since most of your family from that era really are all gone. I mean, who's left really but the grandchildren, essentially? And I don't know, do you have any brothers left or not?
Yeah, I got two brothers and a sister, but Manning is the he runs the political end of this campaign that we're trying to put together.
Right. So you, yeah, all in all, then, all in all, Tom, you say that you've been successful to a large extent over the past few years since we've been doing these programs and since you've been on the circuit in reaching some sort of level where you can say you have indeed reached the plateau that you never thought probably you would have reached with all of the obstacles. Would you say that that's an accomplishment in itself?
I would definitely say that, and thanks to John Wooden, the famous UCLA basketball coach, the righteous pursuit of a worthy goal is success, Rick. That's the way I put it.
Right, right, exactly. So, and you know, you have done marvelous. I'm so happy you're still with us after all of this, and I guess you're up in your 80s now, are you, Tom?
Oh, man, yeah, I feel like it with the last year, but no, I'm 74.
You're 74? Wow, 74. Okay, you've been through a lot. You've been through quite a, tumultuous career, as well as the research and scholarship, and of course you have new grandchildren, I know we talked about last year as well. And through all of this, you're able to still be with us.
Hey, Rick, you know, I should make it really clear that this idea of advancement of Kimmel really is more of a vainglorious exercise and an effort to keep track of whether or not we are successful. But the real effort, the real goal, Admiral Kimmel's goal has always been to get the facts, to get the facts. And we are getting new facts all the time. You know, we didn't even discuss the facts that have come out about this information that was available in the Navy Department prior to the Pearl Harbor attack. About the technological ability to successfully airdrop a torpedo in water as shallow as Pearl Harbor. This story is only bested by the story of magic. It is terribly important. Because
all right, now, you know what, Tom? Then why don't we do this? Why don't we, we're going to take a break again shortly, but we'll have time. Why don't we just keep you on throughout the whole program? You've been so gracious to come on again considering all of your, your limitations, and yet you don't have a limitation on your speaking. So why don't we do this, complete the program, because I think this is too important for historians and Americans of all stripes to be able to just sit down and ignore. It's very important. It may be tedious now to some, but you know what? If you don't know your past, you're certainly not going to know your future. I did want to put in a plug for our friend Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, in the UK, and his program weekly, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, oneword.com. He has some great guests coming up. In fact, Tom, I think you were on his program shortly ago, about a couple of months ago or so?
I think it was longer ago than that, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. He gave me free rein. I was able to talk just about anything I wanted to say.
Yeah, it was great because obviously in the UK, with Churchill's involvement with Roosevelt and the plotting, through the embassies and so forth, and the arrest of one of the top diplomats in the embassy because of his stumbling upon Roosevelt and Churchill's communications, that has a resonation, I would think, in Britain today to have them know their own involvement in this treachery. So that's good. Okay, so let's continue then. Let's talk about the shallow waters right now and tell us about that aspect that is, as you say, equally important, if not even more important to know than Operation Magic and the availability of this technology. Go ahead, tell us a little bit right now.
Yeah, a reason that I think it's so important is because it's brand new information that was completely unknown to all of these nine tribunals that took place during Kimmel's lifetime. Here's the story. I'll summarize the torpedo business. I say
sure.
This torpedo business because that's the term that Kimmel used when he testified multiple times before the Naval Court of Inquiry and the Joint Congressional Committee. Kimmel is on record several times testifying that he did not realize how vulnerable the fleet was in the shallow waters of Pearl Harbor two airdrop torpedoes. And here's why he felt that way. I'll give you a summary. January 9th, 1941, the Office of Naval Intelligence received Lieutenant Commander John Oppie's Toronto Raid Chart. Toronto was the famous attack on the Italian fleet by the British in November of 1940. Kimmel was concerned about that. Many were concerned about that. Lieutenant Commander John Oppie was dispatched by the Navy Department as a special observer aboard the HMS Illustrious. This is the single aircraft carrier of the British that attacked the Italian fleet so successfully. Oppie wrote a report, a marvelous report, to include a chart where the torpedoes were dropped and where the Italian battleships were when they were hit. It indicated that torpedoes were airdropped in 24 feet of water, successfully airdropped in 24 feet of water. Well, my goodness, that chart clearly should have been in the possession of Kimmel as soon as possible, because Kimmel was inquiring of the Navy Department what in the world are the details of this Toronto raid. And in an official dispatch in February of 41, this is a month and a half after Oppie's Toronto raid chart is in the Office of Naval Intelligence.
Okay, hold that point right now. Hold it, Tom. We got this final break, and we'll let you finish when we come back. Rick Adams, Republic Broadcast.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just...
All right, we're back, folks, in the final 4 or 5 minutes of the program. And this has been a special edition of our program. And, Tom, I want you to just sum up with this very important aspect of military history about the missiles in shallow water and your grandfather's inquiries into all of this.
Yeah, well, the airdrop torpedoes was the reason for the success of the Japanese attack. Kimmel was concerned about that. He received an official dispatch from the Chief of Naval Operations telling him about the Toronto attack, and the Chief of Naval Operations said that torpedoes in the Toronto attack were airdropped in 84 feet of water or more at Toronto. Mm-hmm. In June of 1941, a second official dispatch was sent to Kimmel indicating that torpedoes were airdropped in 66 feet of water or more at Toronto. In June of 1941, later, the Navy Department was told that torpedoes were successfully airdropped in 42 feet of water at Dakar. This is the famous attack of the British on the French fleet. At any rate, Kimmel was not told that, nor was the Naval Court of Inquiry told. That's why the Naval Court of Inquiry mistakenly styled Japanese shallow water airdrop torpedoes as a secret weapon unknown to any other Navy in the world at that time. Well, it was unknown to the Naval Court of Inquiry and to Admiral Kimmel, but not unknown to the Navy Department in Washington, D.C. In July of 1941, the Navy Department received an official report from the British that they could successfully airdrop in 24 feet of water, and Kimmel got none of that information. Now, none of that information that I just told you was available to any Pearl Harbor investigation, period. Even the Dorn Committee investigation in 1995.
That's incredible. Yeah. Right.
Okay, Dorn, one last thing. This is the very latest thing. It relates to the torpedo investigation and the Popoff material, the famous German spy. You know, the FBI had been accused of mishandling Popoff's information. Popoff was seeking information about water depth and torpedo net use at Pearl Harbor. The information never got to Kimmel. It never got to the FBI in Pearl Harbor, for that matter. Hoover was accused of not sharing that information with the Army and the Navy for years, but it's been finally found out that Hoover did use paraphrased versions of the questionnaire and got it to the Army and the Navy. Well, the very latest information is that apparently the FBI supplied the entire questionnaire to the Office of Naval Intelligence in September of 1941. And the very latest and most damning information is that the FBI gave a special briefing to Admiral Stark and to the head of Naval Intelligence at that time in October, Admiral Kirk, about the Popoff questionnaire.
Wow.
None of that information made it into any Pearl Harbor investigation.
Let us not forget
all about this off material, and yet not a word of it was given to any of the investigations, even though he was solicited for information that would be pertinent to the investigation.
What a series of lies and omissions deliberately. It's all up on your website, I presume, as you said, and give the address again, Tom, before we leave.
Sure,
Pearl Harbor Attacks 911
www.pearlharbor911attacks.com.
The number,
and there's 911. There's a way to get a hold of me through that website, too. Anybody has a question, I'll guarantee you.
Sure. We have a lot of emails thanking you for coming on, thanking you again. Unfortunately, 2,700 plus men had to give their lives. Well, I want to thank you, Tom. Take care. God bless. And we'll talk again.
Thanks again, Rick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now, folks. Yahweh bless his elect.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.